Joel chapter 2, verses 12 to 13 goes like this from the New Living Translation. The Lord says, "Turn to me now while there is time. Give me all of your hearts. Come with fasting. Come with weeping and mourning. And return to the Lord your God. For He is gracious and He is merciful." Thank you, Lord. "He is not easily angered." Thank you, Lord. "He is full of kindness. And He is anxious not to punish you." Aren't you glad for that? Now, during the times of Joel's prophetic ministry, the people of God had become very prosperous, but at the same time, they had become complacent. They had turned to self-centered self-sufficiency, causing them to fall into idolatry and other kinds of sin. Sometimes prosperity will do that to you. Joel's prophetic ministry was to warn the people of God's impending judgment because of their unrepentant rebellion. Urging them to turn their lives back to God. Not altogether different, I believe, from what the Spirit of God is urging people today in the times that we're living in the church and in this nation. Now, since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, humankind overall has sought to be independent of God's control. And sometimes in our culture, we can even hear about independence almost as a virtue. But there's no place in the Scriptures really where God calls us to be independent. We're dependent on God. Amen? And we are interdependent on one another. Amen? No one is ever really independent, but somehow this message goes forth in our culture that independence is like a virtue to be sought after. I don't see the scriptural precedence for that. But yet humankind has sought to be independent of God's control. That's part of the fall of man. That's part of our fallen nature. Part of our sinful nature. And although God has allowed our rebellion to continue, there is a day of reckoning that is coming. A day of reckoning when God will judge all of humankind's unrighteousness, and everyone's account will be once and for all settled. Does that cause you to shake in your boots a little bit? It gets me to attention. It's a sobering point, but altogether true and increasingly imminent as the coming of the day of our Lord Jesus Christ gets closer and closer and closer. And so rather than shaking in our boots, let's be motivated. Amen? Let's be motivated to incline ourselves to purity and to holiness in our thoughts and our words and our actions, because Jesus is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. And we are the bride of Christ. Amen? Joel's message to the people was one of forewarning of God's judgment. Aren't you glad that God forewarns us? He gives us a heads up. He says, "Wake up, wake up." And that was part of Joel's message to the people. It was a wake-up call. It was a message of forewarning of God's judgment. But catch this now. It was also a message filled with hope. Not only that our Creator is an all-powerful judge, but that He is also a merciful Father. Aren't you glad for that? And He wants to bless all of those who repent and choose to trust in Him. True faith in Him is belief with obedience and trust. That's really what true faith is. Belief in Him, with obedience to Him, and trust in Him for the outworkings of your life. Amen? You don't have to have it all figured out. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad I don't have to have it all figured out. I'm glad that I can trust in a sovereign God who sees my future before I get there. And I'm grateful that I have a sovereign God who is for me and not against me. And that in these present moments, He can direct me and guide me for what He already sees my future is. Amen? He's a merciful Father. And He wants to bless. But He's not going to bless rebellion. He's not going to bless unrepentant rebellion. He's not going to bless disobedience. He'll bless repentant belief and obedience and trust in Him. Amen? Now, woven into the message of judgment and repentance that Joel was propagating to the people of God then, and God by His Spirit propagating to us today, woven into that message of judgment and repentance is an affirmation of God's kindness. His loving kindness, His kind consideration for us, His patient long suffering with us, and the blessings that He promises to those who will follow diligently after Him. Underline the word diligently. Oh, people are following after Him in one way or another. But how diligently are you following after Him? How diligent are you being to steward over your mindset? How diligent are you being to steward over your thoughts? How diligent are you being in steward over the words that come out of your mouth? How diligent are you being in the things that you allow yourself to get involved in? How diligent are you being in the things that you would incline yourself to think and say and do? God's blessings are proportionate to our diligence to following after Him. Amen? He wants to thoroughly bless. He has a fullness of blessing that He wants to pour out to His children. But we forfeit some of that blessing if we're shrinking back in our diligence to following after Him. Amen? It's not altogether different from parents with children. As a dad, I always wanted to pour out blessing on my kids, and I wanted to bless them and just bless them for the sake of blessing them. Amen? But yet, if they were in a place of resistant rebellion, I couldn't, in clear conscience before the Lord God Almighty, bless them. Because if I bless disobedience, if I bless rebellion, now I'm reinforcing it. And so as much as it grieved my heart with my kids along the way, I had to withhold the fullness of the blessing that I would have preferred to pour out to them if they were in times of unrepentant rebellion. And that's how our Heavenly Father deals with us. Joel chapter 2, verse 32 encourages us that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, believing in Him, obeying Him, and trusting in Him will be saved. Amen? Amen. Everyone has an opportunity to make a decision for Christ. And make no mistake about it. Jesus went to the cross for everyone. Amen? Amen. Jesus made a triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem for everyone. Jesus died on the cross for everyone. Jesus was resurrected for everyone. But it's for everyone and for anyone who would be so willing as to repent, believe in Him, obey Him, and trust in Him. Amen? Amen. No one is excluded from that opportunity to become born again. Make no mistake about it. And let no one tell you anything different. Amen? Amen? Believe, obey, and trust. Let's decree that together. Believe, obey, and trust. Again. Believe, obey, and trust. One more time. Believe, obey, and trust. Spirit of God, help us to be ever more diligent in our belief in You, our obedience to You, and our trust in You. Move afresh upon the hearts of Your people in this place now, Spirit of God. Move afresh upon the hearts of the people listening to this message at another time. Stir afresh, Lord God Almighty, a fresh measure of faith to believe, a fresh measure of faith to obey, a fresh measure of faith to trust You, Lord God Almighty, in these times that we're living in, Lord God Almighty, that we would wake up, Lord God Almighty, that we would see the wake-up call that we're in the midst of, Lord God Almighty, as Your people. And that by Your Spirit, Lord God Almighty, I'm crying out to You to pour out afresh Your Spirit upon Your people, Lord God Almighty, in these times. To bring us to a place of fervent belief, obedience, and trust in You. For Your glory, Lord God Almighty. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the move of Your Spirit in our midst. Now the prophet Joel was warning the people of an impending plague. It was the plague of locusts that was going to come and devour everything. A devourer was coming. And it would destroy their crops. And it would have collateral consequences as well. Not altogether different from what we're seeing today. A time when there would be no food, a time when there would be no potable water, a time when there would be no protection and seemingly no escape for God's people. You think God is serious about us diligently following after Him? The people would be facing a widespread tragedy that would affect everyone in the land. Not altogether different from the pandemic that we're experiencing today. At least in my view. Yeah. Boy, there's a lot of different views out there, aren't there? Anybody here run across a few different angles, a few different opinions, a few different perspectives, a few different views? And you know what? Be encouraged. I think there's some truth in each of those views. Amen? We want a purpose to stand in the church with unity in the Spirit, amen?
Yes.
There's one Spirit, amen?
Amen.
In the midst of all this tumultuous things going on around us, there's still one Spirit. And in the church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, with all the diversity and multiplicity of spirits that are coming into the church in different ways and views and perspectives of how to look at all this, we want to be diligent and vigilant to incline ourselves to the Spirit.
Yes.
And to see what part of what people are saying is from the Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
To discern and distinguish the spirits that are at work. You have the capacity to do that because you have the Holy Spirit in you. But you have to discipline yourself to say, Holy Spirit, give me a distinguishing and a discernment of what's being said here. And help me to delineate what's of Your Spirit and what isn't. And as I've disciplined myself to do that in the midst of all this and the cacophony of voices that are out there about one thing or another in this, I can pick out from one opinion or another, from one perspective or another, what's of God's Spirit. And I can grab onto that.
Right.
And I can agree with that part. Amen?
Amen.
And that safeguards a divisive spirit in the church. That safeguards a critical spirit in the church. Oh, the enemy's prowling around the church right now. In these times, he's looking to bring a critical spirit and a divisive spirit. Because so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are looking at this in such a multiplicity of different ways. But God is saying, be diligent, be vigilant, be diligent, be vigilant. To discern the spirits that are at work. And to maintain the unity in the Spirit by grabbing on to what's of the Spirit of God in the midst of whatever you may be hearing. Amen? Where was I?
You got it.
The people then would be facing a widespread tragedy in the times of Joel. And that tragedy would affect everyone on many different levels, not altogether different from the pandemic that we're experiencing today. But catch this now. God's forgiveness, God's mercy, God's grace, and God's protection would still be available to anyone, anyone, anyone who would repent, turning their lives completely over to Him. Amen?
Amen?
It doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter how tumultuous things may seem to be, to me, and maybe to you as well. God's forgiveness is still available.
That's right.
God's mercy is still available. God's grace is still available. God's protection is still available. God's provision is still available. God's healing is still available. Amen? You just need to tap it. Amen?
Yes.
And stand firm in it. Stand firm in those covenant promises of God for your life. The covenant promises that Jehovah God made with Abraham, that extended down through Isaac and Jacob and all the way down through the line of Jesus Christ to us. We are grafted into those covenant promises in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to purpose to stand in those covenant promises by what we think and what we say.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying in alignment with those covenant promises? Because if it's not, we're just working against ourselves. Amen?
Amen. That's true.
I stand on the covenant promise of provision. I stand on the covenant promise of protection. I stand on the covenant promise of healing. Yes, I'm going to walk in prudence and in faith. But I'm not going to be way so far over here into the prudence realm that I'm having little faith.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Where's the faith?
Yes, come on.
Not being judgmental or critical, just saying. Sometimes logic and reason and common sense can be enemies to faith.
Yes.
Sometimes.
That's right.
It's a challenging path to walk. Prudence and faith. Where's the faith? No matter what's going on around us, God's forgiveness, mercy, and grace and protection is available to anyone who would submit their lives, repentantly recommitting ourselves to the Lord, that genuine repentance would spring forth from this sea of pandemic anxiety unto the salvation of souls. Have you run across any anxious people lately? Have you gone through the aisles in the grocery store? And I don't know, I think it's kind of humorous in a way. It's kind of humorous in a way. It's humorous to us who, in a way, to us who walk in the covenant promises of God. Amen? And we're not going to be inconsiderate to the people around us. Amen?
Right.
We're not going to take the covenant promises that we have and wave them arrogantly.
That's right.
To the people around us. But we're going to be considerate to the people around us. Amen?
Amen.
The difference is that we're not anxious or fearful.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
And people will notice that.
Right.
Are you anxious? Are you fearful? As a believer, why? As a believer who's standing in the covenant promises of God, why are you anxious? Why are you fearful? God is looking for us to contrast with the sea of pandemic anxiety that's all around us, that faith would spring forth from us unto the salvation of souls. Amen? The day of final judgment is fast approaching. Now, the word fast can be a relative term. Soon in the Bible is different from what my definition of soon is to what God's definition of soon is. And when God's word says the day of the coming of the Lord is fast approaching, the Lord says, look around, see the times that you're in. Know the times that you're in. Matthew 24, Jesus forewarns us about birth pangs. Now, some would say that this coronavirus pandemic is one of the birth pangs. Maybe it is. Time will tell. But Jesus described it in Matthew 24, that there will be birth pangs that will come before he returns. Now, the thing with birth pangs is this. Each one comes closer than the previous one and stronger than the previous one. So that's one of the ways we can kind of delineate the birth pangs. And this may be one of those birth pangs. Some say it is, some say it isn't. But until then, God stands ready to forgive and to restore all those who would come to Him and turn away from their sinful ways. I believe that we have an unprecedented opportunity in these modern times to introduce people to the Prince of Peace in the face of fear and anxiety. Amen? His desire is to shower His people with His blessings as we restore ourselves to proper relationship with Him. These times of pandemic strain serve as a litmus test for believers, I believe, to check out our faith and to see how strong it really is, and to see who really will stand for the Lord, who really will stand for what God's Word says in the face of the report of the world. Vastly, we've lived our lives as born-again believers in peace and prosperity as a nation. I'm glad for that. How about you?
Amen.
But catch this now. There are times when that peace and prosperity can lull us into spiritual complacency, which I believe is some of what's happened in the church in this nation. Lulling us into a dulled moral sense. Causing moral compromise to creep into our lives, even as believers, and to creep into the church. And we've seen this more in the recent days. But Joel chapter 1, verse 5 calls the people of God out of their spiritual slumber. God is calling the church out of its spiritual slumber. Calling us out of our moral compromises and complacency toward the things of God. How awake and alert are you to what God is doing in our times? God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is exhorting His people with urgency today. Wake up! Wake up! Out of that spiritual lethargy which causes you to be dulled to what is sinful. And instead weep with repentant sorrow, recommitting your life completely to the Lord your God. That's the wake-up call. I believe that's an ongoing wake-up call. But sometimes God allows a pandemic to really get our attention about that. God's allowing this pandemic for His greater purposes. And I believe that part of that is to shake His church. To shake us out of our spiritual slumber. To shake the church at large out of the moral compromise and spiritual complacency that we've been lulled into. It was once said about the United States of America that too much freedom can make the devil's work easier. And I believe that's true. But God calls us to freedom. But it's freedom within the boundaries of His Word. Amen?
Yes, right.
We have freedom. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed on so many levels. But our freedom functionally is within the boundaries of God's Word. Do whatever God's Word gives you the freedom to do. Amen? And God, by His Spirit, is searching us afresh today, each of us individually, in the church at large. Is there something in your life that has dampened your fervency for following the Lord? Is there something that's happened in your life, even as a believer, that's been difficult for you to get over? Even now, maybe it's been years. And it's caused a dampening of your fervency for following after the Lord in one area of your life or another, giving way perhaps to sinful compromises. Spirit of God, come and search our hearts and find every place in us that's compromising your word, causing us to sin in self-satisfying ways. In ways that are self-justified, Lord God Almighty. And free us, Lord God Almighty, from whatever it is that would hold us in a place of dampened fervency for following after You. And fan aflame a renewed passion, Lord God Almighty, for intimacy with You. Calling upon You, Father, for a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit right now, Lord God Almighty, into the hearts and minds of every person in this place, into the hearts and minds of every person in the Kingdom Outpost Church Fellowship, into the hearts and minds of every single person listening to this message, that You would fan aflame, Lord God Almighty, a renewed passion for intimacy with You, and a renewed passion for Your Word, Lord God Almighty. Trusting You to do that work in us and through us, Lord God Almighty, as we purpose to diligently and vigilantly follow after You. Thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Thank You for the move of Your Spirit in the midst. Now in Joel chapter 1, verse 14, God calls His people to a time of fasting and prayer. Some say prayer with fasting. And I've come to experience fasting as a supplement to my prayers. It's a supplement to my prayers. How many of you here take vitamin supplements? Anybody here other than me take vitamin supplements? I take a multiple vitamin supplement. Centrum Silver now, because I'm a certain age. So I take, I used to take Centrum. But then once I got past 55 years old, I had to go to Centrum Silver for men. So I take a multiple vitamin as a supplement. It supplements my diet. It supplements with nutrients and things that would help me, perhaps, where I'm not getting the full benefit of nutrients in my daily diet. And I've come to experience that fasting is a supplement to prayer in that way. It's a way to implement a means of a spiritual discipline in conjunction with prayer, catch this now, to better focus our attention on God. To better focus our attention on God. When we're fasting, we're not so much focusing on what we are depriving ourselves of, but we're focusing on the Lord in those times. Amen? We're focusing on the Lord in a greater way that we may not otherwise when we're not fasting. Amen? Focusing our attention on Him for His divine intervention. And to demonstrate to God, catch this now, this is another outward sign to the Lord God Almighty of what we're willing to do, to demonstrate the depth of our devotion and confidence in His faithfulness to turn things around. It's just another outward thing that we can do. We don't want to do it religiously. We don't want to do it in a way that becomes perfunctory. We want to do it in a way that's led by God's Spirit. To say, Spirit of God, my heart's desire is to demonstrate the depth of my devotion and confidence in Your faithfulness in this time that we're in, to turn things around for our greater good and for Your greatest glory. And so this is what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to fast. Now, there's no magic formula for fasting. Some people might try to convince you of that. How many of you here have run across believers that say, well, this is the way you have to fast, and if you don't fast this way, well, I don't know how effective it's going to be. There's no magic formula for fasting. God judges the heart. God judges the heart. Amen? And if you say, Spirit of God, this is my heart, You lead me in the fast. And let the Spirit of God lead you in how you would fast before the Lord. Amen? The pandemic plague that had come upon the people during Joel's time was God's disciplining hand upon the nation to get them to turn back to Him before an even greater judgment would beset them. Now, some would say that's not altogether different from what's going on in our times. And in some ways, I could agree with that. Just looking at the overall moral trajectory of our nation, you could convince yourself that, well, this is part of God's punishment. It's been said of other pandemics that have happened that have affected our nation. But I think if you look at the overall moral trajectory of our nation, you could say, yeah, well, I think that this might be part of God's punishment, but it's for the purpose of getting us to turn back to Him as a nation. Amen. Joel's prophecy, make no mistake about it, Joel's prophecy was for his time, for our time, and for the times to come. Many prophecies in the Word of God are for the times that were going on at that time. And they're also for our current times as it relates to the application of the principles embedded in those prophecies, depending on what's going on in our times. And it could also be for times to come in an eschatological way, if I could say it that way, in a second coming of Christ way. Amen? There can be dimensions of the application of the prophecy. And the final fulfillment will come when Jesus comes again to establish His kingdom of perfect righteousness and peace on this reconfigured earth. I would encourage each of you to review Revelation chapter 20 this week and be encouraged. Check it out. It's a place where we can be encouraged about what our ultimate hope is. If you're letting God intervene in your life now by way of repentant submission to Him, then you have no fear for the coming final judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Because you will be counted among the righteous to be with the Lord for all of eternity. Amen? Amen. Joel's prophetic ministry began with the warning of destruction and ended with the promise of restoration. He began by stressing the need for repentance, and he ended with the promise of forgiveness and blessing that repentance ushers in. And God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is exhorting us with an urgency today. Wake up, people of God. Wake up, people of God. Wake up, people of God. Get rid of complacency. And realize in a renewed way the peril of living half-heartedly for the Lord. And renew your commitment to the Lord fully. And then receive the fullness of God's promised covenant blessings. It's conditional. God says, if you, then I. If you, then I will. To protect you, to provide for you, to keep you well, no matter what may be going on in the world around you. Amen.
Amen?
Amen? Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now to the Word of the Lord as it's come to you today.